From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In his zeal for Judaism, Saul hated the religion of Jesus Christ and was doing everything in his power to stamp it out. On the road to Damascus, intent on the slaughter of Christians, Saul came face to face with the risen Christ and was gloriously converted. Saul's encounter with Christ that day was a turning point in the history of the world, for Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, whose ministry was to bring thousands to the Savior. Looking back on that day, in his first letter to Timothy, Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners. This description could well be applied to every born-again person, for like Saul of Tarsus, a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ causes us to see ourselves as God sees us, lost and on the way to hell. Paul knew that he had refused to accept the testimony of God's law regarding the promised Messiah. Yet the grace of God conquered him and changed him into the greatest evangelist the world had ever seen, apart from Christ himself. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, The Chief of Sinners Saved. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Avoid That Slip. The text is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. That is to say, if we follow the ways of wisdom and holiness, we shall be preserved in them. He who travels by daylight along the highway is under some protection. There is a way for every man, namely his own proper calling in life. And if we devoutly walk therein in the fear of God, he will preserve us from evil. We may not travel luxuriously, but we shall walk safely. We may not be able to run like young men, but we shall be able to walk like good men. Our greatest danger lies in ourselves. Our feeble foot is so sadly apt to stumble. Let us ask for more moral strength, that our tendency to slip may be overcome. Some stumble because they do not see the stone in the way. Divine grace enables us to perceive sin, and so to avoid it. Let us plead this promise, and trust in Him who upholds His chosen. Alas, our worst peril is our own carelessness. But against this the Lord Jesus has put us on our guard, saying, Watch and pray. Oh, for grace to walk this day without a single stumble! It is not enough that we do not actually fall. Our cry should be that we may not make the smallest slip with our feet, but may at the last adore Him who is able to keep us from stumbling.
Oh,
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
remember those parables the Lord Jesus told of the great feast and then the king's feast. They sent out his servants with a word from the king. They to whom the word came resisted. In one case, they made excuses. In the other parable, they actually maltreated the servant who came with the message, resisting the word of grace, resisting the testimony of heaven, resisting the conviction of sin, resisting the invitation of the gospel, resisting, fighting, kicking against the convicting power of the gospel. What kind of a sinner is it who has a word from God and kicks against it? I tell you, it's a sinner totally, wickedly, viciously depraved. And when Paul looked back in those days when he kicked against the very testimony of God, he said, I was the chief of sinners. I wonder tonight, are you kicking against conviction? Wonder tonight, are you like Saul, you're in turmoil? And the more conviction comes, the more perversely your heart is stirred up to oppose it. The more conviction to go to Christ and get right with God and live for God, the more that conviction comes to your heart, the more the perverseness of your soul is seen in your efforts to go the very opposite way. It's hurtful to you to kick against the pricks, but you endure the pain in order stubbornly to break the will and law of God and do your own filthy thing. That's what Saul did. The great and chief sinner. And then I was thinking of this quite a bit in the last number of days. I suppose what shows the greatness of his sin more than anything else, he ignored and he explained away and he remained unmoved by the clearest evidences of the gospel and of Christ. Now remember, Saul had the evidence of thousands of people saved. He had the evidence of a great company of people from his own stratum of society, priests and Pharisees who had come to Christ. Then he had seen Stephen. Now, it's very difficult for me to explain this, or even to conceive of it, because we have never seen anything like it. When he looked on the face of Stephen, the scripture tells me what he saw was like the face of an angel. And without wanting to be irreverent in any way, I think that what he saw was the nearest thing to the transfiguration scene when the disciples saw Christ clothed in his glory. He saw Stephen bathed in the glory of Christ. He saw Stephen, and it seems to me as if he was already being glorified right before their eyes. The beauty of heaven was about him. Now look, you could look at that scene and you would have to say, how could any man look on the face of one who was transformed to look like an angel of glory and say, this is a work of the devil? How could anybody do it? But he did. He was yet unrepentant. Look very carefully in Acts chapter 9, and you'll see another example of the same thing. Focus on Saul's companion. Do you see that great light that came streaming down and it knocked Saul off his horse? Listen, they also saw that light. Do you hear that voice that rent the heavens? They also heard that voice. Though not the words, they heard the voice. And yet I don't read of one single person in that entourage who was baptized as a believer in Christ. They saw the light. They heard the word, the voice. They looked at Saul. They saw him totally, instantaneously transformed. Yet, they could explain it away. Sinners are very good at that. The Lord Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. Try and let your mind imagine what it must have been like to live in Nazareth. Nazareth, when the Son of God actually lived there. For the first time in history, people saw a sinlessly perfect child before them. I can't begin even to imagine what that would mean, but they saw that. Would it be too much to imagine that the harassed person or parents of Nazareth were constantly pointing their children and saying, "Why don't you be like Jesus?" Yet, they could explain it all away and say, when he came amongst them, "He's just got a devil. Let's murder him so that he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief." Follow him into Capernaum. In Capernaum, most of his mighty works had been done. There were miracles. Miracles of indescribable greatness. Things that could not be explained. But yet, they did explain them away. They were exalted to heaven. Jesus said they were brought down to hell. Remember the resurrection of Lazarus. There's a thing in that story that has always taken my attention. Some people saw Lazarus coming forth out of the grave. Now God brought him forth. Lazarus didn't walk forth, by the way. You don't walk after the Jews have prepared you for burial. Bound tightly. That's why Jesus then said, "Loose him and let him go." God brought him forth. Now, put yourself in that crowd. Here's a man, 4 days in the grave, with the reek and the stench of death about him, and at the one word, "Lazarus, come forth," immediately he comes forth. Some people began to praise God. But some people immediately went back to Jerusalem to tell the religious leaders. And that was the event, more than any other, that triggered their absolute purpose, that quickly they had to kill Christ. But stop for a minute. Raising Lazarus from the dead? Is that not an evidence of who he was? Was that not an evidence that the prayers of generations of Jews had been answered and that God had sent forth his Son in the fullness of time to be the great Messiah, Deliverer, and Redeemer? Yes, it was, but still such was their carnal wickedness that they found some other way to explain the power of the grace of God. Then follow me to Calvary. There is such a scene as never was witnessed in history. There, God shrouded that cross in darkness. There, God shook the earth with a mighty quake. There, God made such an exhibition of divine power that the heathen centurion standing at the foot of the cross had to confess, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. But the Jews standing, I might say even standing, gripping their Bible at the foot of the same cross, explained it away. And when he rose from the dead, they explained that away, or paid the soldiers to lie. When Pentecost came, they explained that away. That's what Saul of Tarsus had been doing. That's why he was a great sinner. Can I say to you tonight that among all your sins, if you're unsaved, this is not the least. Among all the marks of depravity, this is one of the greatest. God has privileged you to sit in a place where there's the preaching of the Word of God. He has privileged you to sit among people where His grace has moved. You have seen lives transformed, made anew by the grace of God. You have sat where God has answered prayer in marvelous ways. And in order to go on in your sin, you have got to pervert what God has done, make a liar of his own testimony, and throw it back in his face. The very sin of Saul of Tarsus. The story of Saul would be a bleak one indeed if he were left as the chief of sinners. But thank God, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he speaks of his deliverance by the Savior. Now, time forbids that I will deal with this in any great detail. But he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He was saved. What's the meaning of salvation? You could give a long lecture on that. But listen, look at Acts chapter 9. What's the meaning of salvation? Look at Saul of Tarsus. He met with Christ personally. He met with him personally. And in that meeting, he was convinced of the truth of the gospel. He was convinced as to who the Lord Jesus was. Particularly, he was convinced of his death and of his resurrection. I don't believe that Saul of Tarsus came to understand in that moment all the great theology that God taught him in the years that followed. But in that meeting with Christ, he knew who he was. He believed who he was. He believed that he died and rose again, and therefore he received him as his Lord and Savior. And from that very point, he was totally dependent on Christ and at his command for service. That, my friend, is God's salvation.
You listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.